Beloved listeners, and welcome to another hour of Advanced Living Radio. This is Kenneth Lesser, and I'm thrilled and delighted to be your host again today. And as you know, on Advanced Living Radio, we make a commitment every week to bring you something of interest, something of value to your life, because we're guided by a daily intention, daily prayer. It goes like this: Heavenly Father, Divine Mother, show me the best ways to have the most fun inspiring the largest number of people to easily, naturally, joyously experience vibrantly, exquisitely, healthy, wealthy, passionate living in the shortest amount of time with the least intrusion into their lives, so we can all get our needs met and celebrate a global loving community that works for everyone. Yeah. That's my thought, and I invite you, of course, to call forth a thought of your own. Maybe you like some things in that. Maybe you have some others. Feel free to email me, share them with me, because we're here to really make this a better world by making our lives better and then helping those around us, and the circles of the giving and caring just keep increasing. And as we get into today, I want to take a moment to say a thank you to our sponsor of the program, which is AdvancedLivingComfort.com. And AdvancedLivingComfort.com is the home of the comfort technology. It's a small plug-in item that looks like a digital clock that you'd see on a desk or nightstand or in your travel bag. And yet it's been specially modified to create an energy harmonizing effect that takes the stress of our high-tech electric world and mitigates that, so we can sleep better, think more clearly, our moods can improve. So many positive benefits when we're lifted out of a stress very quickly and easily. People like Jack Canfield, Reverend Michael Beckwith, Harvard Medical Doctor Eva Selhub are among the many renowned professionals who have made this an integral part of their lives, and invite you to check out AdvancedLivingComfort.com, because there's some holiday specials where you can save 70% on this technology. So check it out. I know you're going to be excited, as we have today a very wonderful opportunity. Many of the listeners have some awareness about astrology. And, of course, it's been around for a long, long time. It's even been used, if you looked up Evangeline Adams. She was a descendant of John Adams, John Quincy Adams, and in the 1800s in Boston, she became a famous astrologer and did work for some of the major businesses and big banks. They had the awareness that there were cycles, just like we have seasons and cycles of the moon. They were aware of this and then began to see from her work with astrology that she could help guide them in a meaningful way, and she became quite famous for doing that. So while it's poo-pooed a lot as, oh my gosh, it's silly and, you know, just a child thing. Actually, some major business professionals to this day continue to use it. And we have a wonderful guest today who is going to help us not only discover some things about astrology because of her, well, practically lifelong interest in it and work in it. She, about 10 years ago, discovered and studied an important new form of astrology that she has taken to new heights in her practice. And our beautiful guest today, her name is Letitia Butler, and she was originally from New York City and became interested in astrology just when she was 10 years old. She found a book in the house, and my gosh, that really got her going. And then some years later, in 1972, she became serious at it and made it a very important part of her life. And she's been doing charts and readings ever since she lived. And then she went on and moved to Cleveland and then studied at Cleveland State University and has an associate degree in electrical technology and a major SMART as a WHIP degree in astrology. So let's welcome our wonderful guest, Letitia Butler. Hi.
Hi, Tim.
Well, thank you for taking time to be on the show today.
Well, thank you for having me.
Well, as we get started, Letitia, if someone didn't know, could we start off with something basic like what is astrology?
Okay, well, astrology is when you're born and you take your first breath, in relation to the latitude and longitude where you're born, the horoscope is like somebody took a camera and took a picture of the heavens at that time. And that particular picture is stationary for you and you alone. It's like a fingerprint.
Mm.
And, well, you know the planets are always in transit. But that particular set of heavenly bodies, when you took your first breath, always stay stationary for you. And as the planets continually move, they make aspects to that stationary picture, and that causes different types of trends in your life. When you get your first job, you get married, all of that is reflected in the heavens by the transits of the planets, and your solar return, and the solar arc.
Oh, boy.
Which the solar arc is actually like every day after you were born. It's like each day, the way the planets are formed, each day after birth, the way they aspect the planets when you took your first breath, each day is like a year of life. So it's a form of forecasting the solar arc.
Oh, now, wow, that's really fascinating. And as you were sharing about that, it was interesting because for some people, they would be thinking, oh, well, you know, here we are on Earth, and I'm a person, and we've got the moon that's the closest, and then the planets are far, far, far away. And my gosh, how can all that stuff really interact? And to me, what I think is fascinating is as we look into quantum physics and we see that we are energy and that we are, at one level, electromagnetic beings, biochemical beings as well. And so if we have this electromagnetic stuff going on and we can use magnets on our body to influence us, then it's like, okay, in all of this wonderful, huge universe, there's some planetary things that are close by that that in astrology considered to exert an influence. And I was thinking, what if as an adult we invited some different people to be with us at a dinner party, and for whatever reason, some we got along with very well, some we might not, and depending upon who we were sitting with and where in the room, that those different people would have a lot to do with how our evening went. And then I'm starting to think, well, from learning a little about astrology, is there's different relationships of these planets and their energies, if so much can be gained and learned, just like we would notice with different people that were around us in a room at a party.
That is true, because when you're in a social gathering, you don't know what each person's, where each person's planets are. But they could be people there whose planets are really, that really go good with yours. Like, you know, their Venus may be with your Jupiter or your Moon. And then there's other people who might have Saturn. Their Saturn may be on top of your Mars or your Moon, so they dampen you down.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and we may not have thought about that in terms of astrological aspects. We may have just experienced it in our interactions. And are you saying that by knowing birthdays and birth times and locations, that you can actually shed some light on this?
On relationships?
Yeah.
Of course, because if people, you know, even a relative, even some parents and children don't get along.
No.
And some siblings don't get along with each other.
I've heard of that.
Because their planetary positions clash.
Yeah.
Just right, like so one of my friends, he told me his brother was coming from out of town to stay with him. And I looked at his brother's planets. I said, what's his birthday? And he told me. I looked at his brother's planets. I said, oh, my God, you're going to have a lot of trouble with him. And that's been like 10 years ago. And he can't get rid of him because the house was in both of their names.
Oh, yeah.
And he can't get rid of his brother, and his brother is making his life absolutely miserable.
Mm. Oh, my.
So there you go.
Yeah, so that's...
And Evangeline Adams, excuse me, I just want to say something about her. Before I moved to Colorado, I lived in Jersey City, and she was born there.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, she was born in Jersey City, and she went on trial.
Oh, I didn't
know. She went on trial because they were trying to say she was a fake and a fraud and she was defrauding people. And the judge gave her a chart and said, the judge, well, gave her the information for a chart, and she did the chart. And he says, well, can you tell me anything about this person? And she told him so much, and it was his son.
Oh, my.
And he said, case dismissed.
Oh, wow. That's a wonderful story I'd never heard,
yeah.
Leticia. Oh, boy. Talk about a way to prevail and be found of value in a legal setting. Oh, I love that.
Yeah.
That's a gem. Well, would you, because of the introduction, I made mention that you've been looking into another form of astrology, because most of us at some level have had something of, oh, okay, what sign are you, which is about a sun sign in Western astrology. But you've got a new form of astrology that you've been working with for quite a while that is quite interesting.
Well, it's not really new. It's new in relation to traditional astrology, but this has been going on from like the World War One in Germany.
Oh, okay, World War One.
Yeah, and the founder was his name was Alfred Vitter, spelled W-I-T-T-E.
Oh, okay.
And he's the one that developed it. He was a surveyor and a mathematician. And in Germany, they had with the school called the Hamburg School.
Mm-hmm.
And it's to my understanding that they did some work for Hitler. during Nazi Germany.
Mm.
And he was really dissatisfied with what they told him. He was dissatisfied because they told him the truth. He had Saturn in the 10th house, and that's always a planet in the 10th house that's going to make you fall in traditional astrology.
Going to make you fall, you said?
Yeah, fall, not be successful in what you're
doing. Oh, okay, Saturn in the 10th house, okay.
And, yeah, because when the transits come around and touch that Saturn, then that's when, you know, all hell breaks loose for you.
Oh, my.
So he didn't like them, and he put one of them in the concentration camp. And there's stories that Alfred Vittel was put in the concentration camp, and then I read somewhere else where he wasn't, but he was so terrified of what Hitler was going to do to him that he committed suicide, unfortunately.
Oh, my.
Now, back in the, believe it was, I don't want to say for sure, but I believe it was the 80s that Hans Nijman brought Uranian astrology to the United States.
Oh, okay.
And he lived right there in the Bronx on Walton Avenue down the street from Yankee Stadium.
Ah.
And that's how Uranian astrology got here.
Oh, my goodness. Okay. And that was in the 80s. And then,
yeah.
And then a while later, you discovered it.
Yeah, I discovered it a while later. I wish I had discovered it earlier. But better late than never.
Yes, exactly. And I am just wondering, is there some things that you can share as a contrast from what you could do with Western astrology in its standard form, which, as you shared from a previous example, one of many examples, but Evangeline Adams, who was accused of being a charlatan, went into court, and from the birth information about the judge's son, she was so accurate that the judge threw out the case against her. So, I mean, obviously, she and others have made a great positive use of Western astrology, and now what was brought into your life was this Uranian astrology, and I don't know if you can help us to maybe contrast a little bit as we begin to get acquainted with this.
Well, I use both systems, but mainly I use Uranian because I've used the Western system for many, many years and had clients that I did the Western system. I used the Western system with them. But when I found out about Uranian, a friend I had met introduced me to it, and I found out that Uranian astrology is like more, you can get more information.
Mm.
You can get it quicker.
Ooh.
And it's like putting an electron microscope on the chart.
Oh, my. So more and quicker and more detail.
And the thing about Uranian, I must say, that it is raw. Okay. It's not for the faint of heart.
Oh.
Because everyone is going to find something that they don't like in their chart. And if you look at your children's charts, you know, you're going to see certain things. Because that's just the nature of Uranian astrology.
Oh.
It's very raw because, you know, life is raw. Let's face it.
Okay, so what I'm hearing is that in different people's charts, there's going to be some aspects that it won't be just like going to a typical psychic fair where they tell you marvelous things and that your future is bright and rosy because no one likes a downer psychic. And so in the work that you do, and especially with this Uranian astrology, we get a more clear look at, I don't know if you call them challenges or areas for growth, or you know, just you know, some people, you know, call it false. So just different ways of talking about these aspects, and that becomes very easily clear, huh?
Well, Ken, you know, like I said just a minute ago, life, even people that are wealthy, they have problems. They get sick just like anybody else. Their kids do things that horrify them. And everything is not rosy and cherry. And that's what Uranian astrology is, a form of astrology that it tells you everything, not just the wonderful things that are rosy and sunny. It tells you everything. There's 4,500 planetary pictures.
Mm. Oh, my. That's a big, a lot of them.
And there's planetary pictures for anything that could happen to you in life, from the very best to the absolute worst.
Mm.
There's planetary pictures for that.
Okay. So 4,500.
Huh?
Very comprehensive.
Oh, I'm telling you.
Now, I'm wondering, as we get into this, you've done work on some people, and is there anything that you could share from some chart work that you've done, I don't know if it was Barack Obama or different folks like this, that you can help us to get a little bit of a sampling of things that you saw in your work?
Well, Obama's chart, well, I mean, there was no way that he could lose, and I'll tell you why. I relocated his chart to Washington, D.C., because he was born in Hawaii. And if you leave your native place of birth, your chart changes. The angles around your chart changes, and that's what we call a relocation chart.
Mm. Okay.
And his relocation chart in Washington, D.C., well, it was different from 4 years ago when he won, because this time, in Washington, D.C., his midheaven, which is like the most important point in your chart, his midheaven and the Uranian trans-Neptunian planet, Vulcanus, is together. Now, in Honolulu, his midheaven was not what it is in Washington, D.C. So Vulcanus is like a rocket ship. That's how much power Vulcanus has.
Oh, okay.
It's like a very powerful vector. A powerful force.
Mm.
And that trans-Neptunian planet was with Obama's relocated midheaven in Washington, D.C.
Okay.
And November 6th, the election day, guess what happened?
What?
A moon phase fell right on that degree.
And what's that mean?
Well, you know the phases of the moon.
Uh-huh.
Like new moon, first quarter, full moon.
Yeah.
Last quarter moon.
Right.
Well, a moon phase fell right on top of Obama's midheaven and Vulcanus.
On Election Day.
That's right.
And
when I saw that, I was like, well, I know he's going to win. There was no way that he could lose with that.
So having a moon phase, one of the four different phases of the moon, be on a specific day can portend a more positive event?
Well, it's usually something, but it would have to touch like either midheaven, ascendant, sun, moon, some important point in your chart. And that would last for a week until the next moon phase.
Oh, okay.
So, but something important will happen during the moon phase. Something important to that particular person.
Yeah, and I think Barack did okay during that time.
Oh, yeah, he won the most electoral votes and the popular votes, so.
Yeah. Yeah, and maybe he and Michelle had a party.
Well, you know, he is a party guy.
Ah.
He's a party animal. This guy loves people. He loves interacting with people, and he likes to have fun. But he gets down to business also.
Oh, okay.
But he likes to have fun, yeah.
Wow. So from his chart, you're sharing some things. I don't know if there's this, those things, and anything else that you've seen that help you to view him as a leader.
Well, he has a very powerful chart for politics, and he was like a born politician.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. And I looked at his chart 4 years ago, and what I saw then was that he could pull us out of the recession and the problems, that he could pull us out. He needed more time, but he has so much opposition. It's like he's climbing a mountain, and he's got like a force that's trying to put him back down. So if they would just cooperate with him, he could make a lot of positive changes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I don't know if you've looked into this. If you haven't, that's okay. We can save that for another time. But given that he'll now have 4 more years to move things ahead and not worry about getting reelected, whether people like him or not, type of a thing, he can. Are there things that you're able to see that give some indication of increased the likelihood of success or continued great adversity?
I see a lot of adversity still going on, though. Maybe it will change in the coming years. I haven't looked that far.
Okay.
But right now, yeah, he still has a lot of adversity, as we know. And but hopefully that will change.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't really looked that far, but I know that if they stopped going against him and try to help him and be with him so that he can do the things that he wants to do, that this country would be a lot better off.
Sure. Well, to me, I'm excited because he seems like he is reaching out on a regular basis and getting the word out through different media sources and traveling and making public appearances to help people to get a message of some of what he's trying to accomplish and to build popular support. And now with our ability to communicate through emails and other means and Facebook and Twitter, to then have people get in touch with their representatives and their senators and let them know, hey, we want you to support this.
Right.
So I'm hopeful that will help instead of things happening somewhat behind closed doors in a way where people aren't aware of it, that by connecting with people and having them speak up and let their desires be known to these folks, that it's going to have some more influence on their decisions in Congress.
Well, we have to do that.
And do you find in his chart some positive things about him as a family man, or how does that stack up? Because Bill Clinton, probably would have just liked to have run around without pants on because it would have made it easier for some of his work.
Well, okay, I don't see him being like that, but I see, and I shouldn't say it, but I see that, you know, maybe later on there could be a problem, not between, there might be a problem later with them.
Oh.
But see, the thing about it, they have kids.
Right.
So a lot of times when you see a person's chart and you see divorce,
mm-hmm.
you have to look at the kids, too, because
yeah.
once you have a child, that changes everything. If your child is born with sun and moon equals Saturn, sun and moon with Saturn in the middle, that shows that the parents are going to be divorced.
Oh.
And that shows divorces for you. Now, Casey Anthony has something like that.
Okay. So is it something with the Brock has two daughters, right?
Yeah, so I haven't looked at their charts or anything to see if you know what would be going on.
Oh, okay. But you saw something that indicated
there was... I saw something
there,
but it doesn't have to be now, you know, I mean...
Yeah.
You know, they're still relatively young people.
Right,
and
right.
they have children, so the children might have counteracted that. The children's planets might have counteracted what I...
Okay,
what
so
I
there would be further research into this
yeah.
that would help clarify it.
Mm-hmm. But, I mean, their children's birth information, I'm sure, is not published.
Yeah, and of course, I don't know if you have any information about Michelle Obama.
I had her birth date a year, but I never... was able to get the time, so I just gave up. It might be there now, but that was a while ago when I looked at that.
Sure.
But I was just looking at his chart.
Yeah, no, I understand. Well, this is pretty exciting, and I would be curious to be a little vulnerable here. I gave you my birth information and said...
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I've been doing the show for 7 years, and so listeners have perhaps had some experience of me, and my goal is to help this world to be much better, and of course, as there's
and
a
I
song
do see that.
That says, let there be peace on earth and let it begin with me, so that indicates to me some importance of being responsible for my own personal growth, to help that to take place. And so I'm wondering if there's some things that you can share that you saw about me and some directions of things that maybe I could look at improving or areas where, you know, need some extra support.
Okay, well, you have Venus, Apollon equals Sun and Neptune. And this is a person that's a very charitable person. You're always ready to do some charity work. And a sympathetic person. Also, sometimes you may promise to help in certain situations, but then circumstances may get in the way.
Mm-hmm.
That you can't help, but the basic feelings that you have are sincere in helping.
Yeah, well, that's a good thing.
mm-hmm. Also, I noticed something that you have with your ascendant. That's your environment. And you had said that you were into natural remedies.
Yes.
And that is good because you have to keep your immune system up. Because I can see that, you know, there are times when you might be around people that maybe have the flu or some other kind of viruses or whatever, and you are more susceptible to catch them if you don't keep your immune system up. So you strengthen your immune system.
My immune system?
Yeah. You have to keep your immune system strengthened.
Ah, okay.
Have you noticed that?
Yes, I definitely have. And that's one of the reasons that I continue to implement different things in my lifestyle for better health and well-being, for taking care of this physical instrument that's on loan to me.
And also, I see that you have spiritual relations with people. And there's women in your life that are very spiritual. Also, you might have some people that you know that maybe in a confused mode. It doesn't have to be now. This is your chart from the time. This is what I'm looking at from the time that you were born to now.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I don't know when these things have happened because I would have to actually do a lot of work to pinpoint the exact times that these things were going on.
Oh,
but
I
they
see.
Have been times in your life where you were tied to people in a way who needed counseling. They may have been confused type of people that needed some professional counseling.
Yeah, that's I could certainly speak of that. Many of us have grew up in what may be called dysfunctional families or families where the members really did not receive training or support to have great mental and emotional balance and great relationship skills. This was really not a part of my parents' life and not a part of my life for many years.
Mm-hmm.
And so that tends to be, at least in my life, and I guess for a number of others, connecting with folks that are okay some of the time, but other times it's like, oh my gosh, where they're, as you said, confused, and certainly being around those kind of situations was an inspiration to me to want to look into ways of how to help people to feel better, because early in my life I learned a simple equation of life. The equation went like this: more stress equals less love, less stress equals more love. And so in family interactions, that equation was well illustrated, which then sent me on a course to say, well, what can we do to have less stress so that we get to experience more love?
Okay. That makes a lot of sense.
So that's...
Also, I see you have, like, moon, Poseidon equals sun. And this is, you're a person with a very, you pick up other people's vibrations.
Oh.
Yeah, you're highly attuned. So you may even be a type of person that maybe have like a little psychic ability,
mm-hmm.
where you can actually tune into other people's vibrations and other people's feelings.
Mm.
And your intuition is very sharp. You have good intuition and instinct. So you're the type of person that should follow your first mind.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And don't double-think yourself. Would you agree with that?
Well, I like that.
Highly sensitive to what other people are feeling.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Nailed that for sure. Compared to some others that are basically in a bubble and immune to what others feel. So there's two opposites of that range.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm definitely more sensitive about that. And that's had me liking at different times in my life to basically take a sabbatical and be in communion with spirit and on my own away from people for the most part.
Okay. It's because of your sensitivity to other people's feelings?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, at least as I've looked at it, to be able to be around people that were on a path of getting healthy and balanced so that they could have high-quality interactions, first with themselves and their creator, and then with those around them. And for me, I haven't, I guess the search is still going for some of those folks. And being as sensitive as I am, it seems easier at times to be away to be able to keep my health, especially being so sensitive to some other people's energies.
Mm-hmm.
And as you said, to keep my immune system strong, because my grandmother on my mom's side, she was pretty intuitive, and she had a saying that she would share with me on a number of times as she watched me interacting with people as I grew up. And she said, "Kenny, you're too good for your own good."
Well, I can see you have midheaven / Zeus equals ascendant. This is your environment. Your ascendant is always your environment. And actually, when people relocate, they change the angles on their chart, so the environment is completely different.
Oh.
And that does make sense, because When you relocate, you come into a whole new type of circumstances around you.
Mm-hmm.
So now, what I was saying, you know, this looks like you either have been teaching, or maybe you should be teaching.
Mm-hmm.
And helping others. This is your thing, helping others intellectually, instructing others.
Mhm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That definitely is something that I've taught classes. I do consulting, and it's so interesting because from early in my life, without any formal training, people would come to me and talk about challenges or their problems, and often comment that, "Wow, thank you. I hadn't looked at that situation in a way, so I helped them in talking with them to expand their horizons or their perspective of something and help them free up some energy." Or a number of people would say, "Oh, Kenny, you have a way with words," which was something in terms of being able to communicate with them in a meaningful way.
Mm-hmm.
And so that was certainly there in childhood, and then I went on and did a number of trainings in other areas to enhance and refine my skills.
Okay. Well, that's, you know, what I can see from what I did, I didn't do a whole lot because, you know, it was like kind of a rush thing.
Oh, sure.
Last minute. But, hello?
Yes.
Oh, okay. But what I can see here is that, you know, you're very good. Your spirit is so wonderful. You have a wonderful spirit. And your sincerity and you have sympathy for people. You're just a good soul. Of course, there's other things that have been going on, but nothing that you have caused. You might know people that have known people that were unhappy with their romantic or marriage or whatever, and they cried on your shoulders. You know?
Yeah.
So, but everything about you personally seems to be really good, you know, sincere.
Yeah. Well, thank you.
Well, you're welcome.
So I have definitely something to live up to.
Uh-huh. Yeah, very, very spiritual.
Well, that is certainly a main devotion in my life, is that relationship with my Creator, and I feel like that's just so important because of all the uncertainty. People come and go. People say things, and you want to believe them, but something gets in the way. And they're no longer there, and then you can get hurt feelings or greatly disappointed. And yet the concept of Creator that I've chosen to embrace is one of a constant flow of positive energy, a constant flow of support energy that is never taken away, never contingent upon any of my behaviors. And to me, it's like, wow, that's a solid rock upon which to build a foundation in my life.
Have you ever seen auras?
A little bit. That's something that I haven't gotten really refined in.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm guessing, who knows what may have happened in childhood, but I'm understanding that most of us as children can do that, but aren't typically supported to keep it going.
Okay.
So, now, when people are reaching out to you, Leticia, because you've been consulting, they can do this, contacting you or through your website or email? How do folks go about reaching you?
Well, my phone number is on my website.
Okay. And then do we have to use our intuition to guess your website?
Oh, okay. It's www.letitiabiab.com.
Okay.
And I have an article on there now, Casey Anthony. And I'm going to be working on some other articles. One I'm working on now, I find so fascinating, JFK Jr.
Oh.
And his wife.
Okay.
And looking at their charts, which I haven't really gone too far with the article yet, but everybody has a midpoint between Saturn and Mars. The midpoint between Saturn and Mars has to do with the manner of your death. Not to get
I heard that is going to come up for a whole lot of us on the planet.
Oh yeah, everybody has that, but between his Mars and Saturn was her sun. And between her Mars and Saturn was his moon.
Now, who are you talking about?
JFK and Jr. and his wife.
Because, okay.
You know, they went down in a plane.
Yeah, yeah.
And that when I saw that, that just blew my mind. So I said,
And you saw this aspect. Would you repeat that again of how that ties in?
Well, it's a planetary picture.
Yeah.
The Mars and Saturn. Everybody has a midpoint between Mars and Saturn.
Okay.
Mars and Saturn, the midpoint of Mars and Saturn, if there's a planet there, that's going to be the manner of your death.
Oh.
But if there's no planet there, there's going to be a transit sooner or later of planets. But it doesn't mean that you're going to die then, you know, because, I mean, it just, but when you reach that time when you pass over, there will be something transiting the midpoint of Saturn and Mars. But in JFK Jr. and his wife's chart, they both had each other's, his moon was in between, it was either his moon or her moon was in between his Saturn and Mars and her Saturn and Mars. But the lights from each other was in between their Saturn and Mars, and they died together. And, she was having her toenails painted over and over because she didn't like the color. And when she got to the airport, it was dark. And if she had gotten here earlier, maybe they would have survived.
Oh, okay.
You remember what happened, right?
Not really. So you're indicating that there were a bunch of delays in them taking off because of her wanting to get her toenails in a particular fashion. And I know for myself and many other people with the, you know, at least we're striving to have a foot fetish. I don't think I've gotten there yet, but I'm working on it. And so apparently she was really good at giving a lot of attention to her toenail color that caused them to be late in departing, huh?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And because they were late in departing, they actually ended up being early in departing.
Right.
The planet, unfortunately.
And then if they had gone to a Uranian astrologer, they would have told them to please stay apart.
It's like stay apart, like as a couple, or yes. Stay apart on that day, or
no, stay apart as a couple.
Oh, okay. So that it was not a strong marital situation for them interacting with each other.
No.
Okay.
And every couple that's together, it doesn't necessarily mean that they belong together.
Yeah.
Because a decent astrologer can tell.
Oh,
like, my. People, but they won't listen. They won't listen anyway. Once they're emotionally involved, that's it. They don't care what anybody says. why they need to know before they get emotionally involved with one another. Somebody should check it out.
Well, yeah, and it would be nice to be trained as a human being to know, yes, I can feel strong emotions, and that's the one thing, and having a successful marriage, it takes more than strong emotional bonds.
And some people do not, they don't realize when the warning signs are there, the red flags, they ignore them because they're in love.
Exactly. Yeah, there's nothing like powerful infatuation and incredible hormones going on to help a person to not notice some clear red flags. And then I was just thinking with the saying, you know, if people were approaching you and they ask a question, do we belong with each other? Is another way of another aspect of that is, will we belong with each other?
Mm-hmm.
Instead
mm-hmm.
of, you know, belong and be long. So anyway, those are intertwined, and that's something that people could turn to you and say, well, I'm dating this person and I have an interest. Can I get some indications from you?
Oh, sure, definitely.
Oh, wow, this is Excellent.
Definitely.
My gosh, I'm excited. Would you, as we just have about a minute left, would you share your website again and how people can get in touch with you to go into this in more detail?
Okay. My website is www.letitiab, L-E-T as in Tom, I-T as in Tom, I-A-B as in boy, .com. I want to say a few words before we go. About the lottery.
Okay.
Well, we just had a couple of big winners. But you know, the fact of the matter is that kind of luck you have to be born with.
Oh, so they can look into that. What I'm hoping.
I wish I had their charts.
As much as I'd like to continue this, we've used up our time for now. And I just want to thank you because it has been glorious to be with you today. And
well, same here, Ken.
And thank you
for having me.
You are welcome. And to you, Letitia, and to my beloved guests, wish best wishes and God bless you. And goodbye for now.
God bless you too.
Thank you. Bye.
Okay. Bye, Ken.
Let go and let God. Let myself loose and let go of.